eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. I want to see.
Bless you and love you, buddy.
To see you high and lifted up.
Is that your desire?
Light up your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
Head up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. You want to see him? Well, if you want to see him, then he wants to see you. Because that's where the desire comes, is to see him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading from Ephesians 1. And then turn to Luke 24. Ephesians 1, Luke 24. We really had a good time this past weekend of the fellowships and time together and around the 40 years of being here. And pray that the Lord now has got us out from going around and around Horeb, and maybe we can go on. Because that was 40 years of the children of Israel, you know, and we're ready to move on. But just thank God. We appreciate Brother Reed coming and really enjoyed the preaching and everything, and just pray that the Lord would be with us now in the next 40 years and keep us going on. But just pray. Now, remember the Bible study, we had to change it, so the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock, and the topic is still on the works of the flesh. So remember those and just keep them in mind. Thank you everybody for the gifts and the things, the cards and all, for, you know, in our celebration time of our 40 years here. And I took the eagle plaque and all with me to the house, but the chair is back there in the office, so you can come and see it. But we, you know, it's a whole lot more comfortable and easier to use. All right. Also, remember to pray. Now, Brother Dean and I went down the other day and saw Brother Fred Hooper. He's in the, went down Tuesday. He's in the hospital at Kenistone. Let's see, the number is 532. His room number, 532. So, you know, if you want to call him and talk to him, Kennesaw, okay. All right. And if you want to call him and talk to him, he would be glad to talk to you. He's got cancer in a good portion of his body and things, and they're trying to get him straight enough, but they gave him a whole bunch of steroids to try to help him, and that done worse than it did to help. So just pray for him, and if you want to call him or go visit with him, you know, do that and all, and just keep him in your prayers. But, man, any other announcements? I generally forget something. All right, Ephesians 1, where we've been reading, and then we'll go to Luke 24. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for all things, and you give them to us freely, and we pray that you would just bless us now with understanding, because that's what we've gathered tonight for. We've come for one thing, and that is to hear from you. We ask you to speak to our hearts and our lives and to give us understanding ears that we may hear what the Spirit hath to say unto us in this last days. Forgive our sins and lead us in thy understanding and guidance, and just bless each one of these that are sick among us, and the ones like June that's been operated on her hand, and the different things. And just pray, we pray, Lord, that you would just help each one of us and give us understanding of you, because that's what we need more than anything. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace and keep us. And Lord, just bless the little bride around the world. And the prophet said one day that it wasn't hard to pray that, because that was a promise you made that you'd do. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians. Now, if you would, you know, we're still in studying, and I hope you're still reading on the future home, going over and over and over it. But now, if you'll listen or to write to read the message of It's the Rising of the Sun. We'll try to get on more into that. So if you have time, just listen to that or read the message, It's the Rising of the Sun. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And now let's go over to Luke 24. And we'll start reading about verse 36. This is right where the, remember, after the crucifixion and the Lord, is kind of a rumor around that he is risen, and the two on the road to Emmaus is going, and the Lord appears to them, and then they're gone back now to the disciples, and they're beginning to relate to them, you know, of the things. And we'll start reading in verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have you any meat? In other words, he's trying to make it to where they're, make sure that they understand he's real. See, so he says, now, you know, in other words, see me, feel my hands, handle me, do this, that, and the other. And all now he's telling them what? Have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat thereof, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Now watch what he opened. He did not open all the understanding of the Bible. That's not, no reference, no thoughts whatsoever involved in it. He didn't open all of the understanding. He only opened the specific point. And go to verse 46, and you'll see what he opened. See? So verse 45, and he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, when we get back to that in a minute, you think about it. He didn't open their understanding of all the Scriptures. He just opened the understanding of the things that was related to that specific point or time or whatever that he was doing and dealing with them. All right. Now, but I said, if you will study the message next, now it is the rising of the sun, and just, you know, follow the things through there, and you'll find the whole point of the message that we'll be trying to get to, you know, in the furtherment of the preaching. But this one, I want you to think about it. And see, I haven't taken, as maybe you thought I would, as just to take the future home and read a lot. We've read a lot in it. Now, don't misunderstand. Somebody on tape said, My Lord, you read the whole book. Well, that's pretty well true. But, I mean, I just wasn't dealing with trying to show this justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because we should understand that. that should be simple to us as we read the prophet's message of the future home, that there of the and seeing the point of, he said, I want you to make sure and get the plan of redemption. So we believe in what? We believe in three stages in the basis, or whatever you want to call it, three steps. You use your own words as to applying to the soul of the individual. And you can read in there what the prophet said about how that, you know, justification just chops off your past sins. All right? Says does nothing to the future. It's just a repentance. In other words, you come up and you recognize and you realize that the goodness of God, the scripture said, is what calls us to repentance. See, now just to repent is not it. It's when God calls you to repent. Like Brother Tom said one time, we were talking, he and I, to this man, and he said something to the guy, and the guy said, well, I said, saying I'm sorry is simple. You know, that's just words. In other words, you don't mean it. It's just words. See, so you can do that, and a lot of people repent and all, but, you know, maybe they don't go on to a cleansing and all of the doing what they need to do, you know. Because if you repent of something, you shouldn't want to go back and do that again. You should want to get away from that, you know, and feel sorry for the way you've been. All right? Then we know from the future home that sanctification is a cleansing and setting aside of the heart of the individual, see, to where that God can come and dwell, because he's not going to dwell according to the scriptures. He won't dwell in an unclean vessel. All right? So if he's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel, then he had to cleanse it. So, you know, like he says, you take and you go out in the yard and you see a glass or a cup or something, and you pick it up. That's, you know, you take that and that's justifying it. You've got a use for it. All right? And then, see, that's what God done with us. He had a use for us, so he called us to himself, and then sanctification, you take that in and you wash it and you cleanse it real good, you know, and you get everything out of it, because you don't want to put it in service while it's dirty. But sanctification is a cleansing and setting aside. So that soul of the individual has to be washed of all of the old Adamic nature and self, that what we are, and cleansed, and you know, and come to church and believing and seeing that we need to live for the Lord and you know, be better and be cleansed and set aside. Amen. But see, that's not the whole story. And there's where the problem is, that a lot of people do that, and they'll come to church and they begin to do that, and they get a religious atmosphere about them, and they'll come to church and live in the church and do and all, but they don't go on to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, and if they don't go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then it's not God's fault. And see, then there's some things left of us that just, when we're sanctified, even though you're cleansed and set aside, you need the fiery baptism. That's why the scripture calls it the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire comes to burn out everything about us that's left in the soul. All right? To where God can come, and the prophet said in the future home, if you read it, makes it a place for God to dwell. All right? And see, then that's why I believe that the soul of the individual is eternal, but the body and spirit is not eternal. It's still in a separate, even though we are a unit, yes, of body, spirit, and soul. We're a unit, and you can say soul as a being, right? That's fine. But just remember, a Christian cannot sin in the soul. So if a Christian sins, and the prophet said he sinned every day, so that settles it. But that's, you know, and the Bible said if you say you sin not, you make God a liar. All right? Because, you know, that's you know, you can really lay down, but there ain't no need of it. We ought to move on. See? But see, we need to see then that the body and the spirit of the individual is not fully redeemed. All right? The soul is what's redeemed, page 49, future home, and you're waiting the redemption of the body. All right. Then we found from the future home and studying it that the world, this earth, in the days of Noah, went through a time of washing it off to justify it, all right, cleanse it, to make a new world, you know, tumbled it all over, and they dig down now for thousands of feet. And Brother Bob's daddy was telling me the other day, he just read an article where they had went down like in a coal mine or some kind of an underground something, and they found a modern-day ship thousands of feet down below the surface. See? And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, they were modern in the days of the flood, and where did all that go to? You know, where'd all this get dumped to? They're finding things now that are just amazing, you know, way underground and things. And you go up here in Kentucky and find alligator fossils way up on the mountain, you know. But see, it was a turmoil, a twisting and turning in the days of Noah. And the world was justified, all right? And then we found that the prophet was teaching that it had a... that when Jesus was crucified, that his blood dropped down on the earth to cleanse and claim the earth. All right. So we're not going to get, as we studied then, see, and the Bible says the word pass away, and we all thought that one of these days this world's going to be blasted away, you know, and we didn't think about where we was going to live or what we was going to do, but we found out that's not correct. That it's going to be washed off, cleansed, and burned off as far as man has tampered with it. So it's the cosmos that's destroyed, the world order, and the situation of man. All right, but see, it's already went through justification in the days of Noah, sanctification when Jesus dropped his blood on it to cleanse and claim it, this world, this earth. All right, but one day it will receive its fiery baptism. See? To burn off everything, and that'll not only be just a natural burning, it will be a spiritual burning that will destroy Satan and all of his angels and the things that are wrong, and it'll be a fiery baptism. All right. So then the earth is in the process of being redeemed, but it's not in the finished part of it yet. All right. Now, see, then we got to talking about it. And see, then now what are you going to do about your body? Because your body was in the earth. So you can cover then about the body being in the earth in the days of Noah when the world was washed off. And then you can talk about that it was in the earth in the days of when Jesus dropped his blood on it and claimed it. But surely we don't want to have to wait until after the millennium is when the world is to be burned with fire and cleansed. So we surely don't want to have to wait that long to get our, you know, redeemed body. See? So then we must step ahead of the world, or the earth, you know, and in there receive our body, because God is not going to destroy the world. So then he doesn't destroy our body. He redeems it. All right? And see, then I believe in a redemption of the body. I don't believe in a replacement. I don't believe in getting a new body. I believe in this body being made new. This body will become eternal, turn back to where we're 18, 20 years old, but it won't just turn back there and start right back over again in age factor. See? It's to redeem. All right. See, then in that, then, we came to the end of it to talk about. And I just mentioned it at the end of the message. I said, I'll get back to this. That when you receive the new birth, and I'm not going to try to prove a lot of points tonight. I'm going to preach something to you. And then the Lord willing, we'll pick up Sunday and bring some more into showing you from the scriptures, maybe in the things of what the prophet is saying about it. Because, see, I believe we're going to be changed here. Now, because we read the Bible, and we found in the Bible that we shall not all sleep. In 1 Thessalonians 15, there in about verse 5. That we'll not all sleep. We're not all going to have to die and go by the ground. Somebody's going to be changed. All right? So then in doing that, then we see that our bodies don't have to be destroyed. It's not destroyed. See? It's redeemed. All right? See, then we've talked about it, and we've seen that that even the Scripture says, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, that Paul explains how that this rapture, this change, these things would take place, that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and a trumpet, you know, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So why would we be looking for another body when the Bible had already been speaking of, see, and has always spoken of, even in the types and the shadows of the prophet, that the earth is to be redeemed, you know? Why would we want to think about getting a new body? But see, that's people, they look at their old selves, and they just can't see how God can do anything with that. Well, if he left it like it is, it would be a problem. But see, we already have the types and the shadows. We already have Abraham and Sarah turn back, see, to show us that we're going to go back to be young again. But remember, theirs was just a type that was turned back. All right? They got old and died. All right? But that, see, this group of people in the end times not going to have to die because we already know the message. All right? But is it a reality to us, or is it a quote? Now, I'm asking you a simple point. I try to get across something to you in thinking and try to help you to understand. Because we always read 1 Thessalonians, and we said we wouldn't all sleep. We would be changed. Right? That's all. Brother Brown didn't come and add that to the Bible. That was in the Bible. We read that when we was in the Baptist, and we talked about it. All right? And we talked about it. Now, no, we didn't understand all of it. That's what I want to get you to in a minute. But we read in Thessalonians that the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout. Sure, we had that, a toot-to-do trumpets. We had all kind of things. But at least we could read. We could read. Why then would we be looking for another body? I want to get that point to you. See? Because you say, well, but now, Brother Dale, we studied those scriptures. We didn't have the understanding that we now have. No, but we had the reading of the scripture. And we read them and talked about them. Why would we be looking for another body? But to prove we didn't understand. Now, are you listening? To prove we did not understand what Paul was saying in Thessalonians and Corinthians, to prove we didn't understand it, we believe we were going to get another body. Right. Now, you know yourself, you believe that, I believe that, we all believe that before this message came. So you pull up, no, I believe, well, go ahead and forget it. But listen, we proved what we believed about the scriptures by our self-interpretation. Amen. Of the fact that we were going to get a new body. Right. Right. Right? Now, could it be that we still have those problems? That after all the prophet has said, now to prove the point, after all that Brother Branham has said about resurrections, not replacement, what goes down comes up, even Jesus came up with nail prints in his hands and all of the things, all of that, after all is said and done, a large portion of this message, people still believe you're going to get another body. So now it goes to prove. Do you understand? Right. I like to put something down to say, punk. Yeah. Now just get around that, you know. Just dig a hole all you want to get around that statement I just made. Because right. You're going to work yourself to death, and when you get through, you're going to come right back. Right. And have to admit what was said was right. Right. But see, people are not going to admit it. Right. See? They're going to keep going down the road. Right. It won't work out. All right? Now, why would we be looking for a new body when we've got all of the background to show us that we're not to do that? Amen. That is this body redeemed. See? Then we prove we don't. Oh, but I've got all these quotes. Brother Brown said, I got all these quotes. I got all these quotes out of Scripture. I got, well, amen. See? But will it line up with the Bible? Will it line up with the prophet's message? No, you have to deny some of the things he said. Bring me anything he said about a new body. I can quote Brother Branham. Brother Branham said we'd get a new body. I can give you an isolated quote where he says we're going to get a new body. Yeah. But then take all the other statements where he said there's this body redeemed. So what's he talking about? Is he saying there's going to be a new body? Or is he just saying this body is going to be new and he doesn't say it the way we want it in words? Which one is it? See, do we understand? All right? But now, listen. Could we be at the place the disciples were that we just read about? No, Brother Dale, we got the Holy Ghost. Well, with the Holy Ghost, could we still be that away? Because have you ever thought about the disciples? Jesus opened their understanding of the Scriptures, and that was before Pentecost. We just read it in Luke. So then you can have your understanding of the Scriptures opened and still not have the new birth. I got one amen, a couple of head shakes. You know. But listen. Is it possible that we stand in the same way they stand, or even move us up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You think about this a minute now. You know that in Oral Roberts University, they say they have Brother Branham's message and that they study it. You know that Neil Frisbee was one they called a scroll prophet, the writer prophet, you know, and all back down there. And to show you how that he went, he wrote a scroll and said that the unidentifiable flying objects was aliens or something like that. And something was said. I forgot which way. Now, if I do that wrong, you put it in the right one. But anyhow, he made a statement. And when Brother Branham said it was investigating angels, he wrote a correction. He was writing, "Thus saith the Lord." But when the prophet told it to be investigating angels, he wrote a correction and said, "Correction in scroll so and so and so and so, it's investigating angels." All right? And my point is he got his understanding opened. Right. Now, in Oral Roberts University, they can read all that Brother Branham said just like you read all that Brother Branham said. Amen. See, we're in the day when the manifestation of all things, nothing can be hid anymore. God decides to run for president. We don't even know his name. I didn't know Obama's name. I didn't know he existed. As far as I was concerned, I didn't even know how he lived in Hawaii. It didn't matter to me. But I never knew him. But all at once, here's Obama. Okay. And before he went 2 weeks trying to run for president, they'd already lambasted him about it. He couldn't run because he wasn't an American citizen. This is the day when you can't hide nothing. Because, bud, they can find you. They can go on the internet today and find out everything in the world about you. All they need is your telephone number. Your telephone number today is more valuable to you to prove who you are than your birth certificate. Because they know who you are. Do you know, have you ever applied for a birth certificate, a copy or whatever, try to line it up? Do you know that a record from a baptismal service in a church is more authentic than a birth certificate? Did you know that? They'll take it quicker because somebody says that's you when you can falsify all the others. This isn't the day when they can just open it up and just get anything they want to. God, it's the day of manifestation. It's the day of the opening. Turn on the radio today and listen to some Baptist preacher be preaching about the seals and the white horse rider being the Antichrist and you know, the Pentecostals preaching it this way and then preaching it that way. I heard a man one day preaching Brother Rand's message right down the letters, preaching the stature of perfect man, right as perfect as could be. Why? Because his understanding had been opened. Get what I'm saying? See, our understanding at Lula, Georgia, has been opened. Now, there's a lot of difference between a revelation and an opening of our understanding. That's what my point I'm trying to get you to see. The disciples had their understanding open of the Scriptures. Acts 1 and 8, they asked Jesus, I believe it's 1 and 8, it's even the first chapter of Acts, they asked him, was he going to restore the kingdom to Israel at that time? There was only, that was the point I was trying to make. When it says they opened their understanding of the Scriptures, go right on down, it tells you what he opened. He opened their understanding of who he was and how he had to die and how that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name and the things that would take place and how the Holy Ghost would come. But he didn't open their understanding of everything. They're still over in Acts trying to find out what he was doing. But get my point. We can have our understanding of the Scriptures opened and not have one dab of revelation. All you got to do is just get Brother Brown's message and just read it. And you can preach one God to the letter. Right. And you can show all the amorphies and the theophanies and all of the great letters about it and great swelling speeches. And it does not be a revelation whatsoever. Right? See, I like to do this to get you to thinking. You know that Brother Branham, I gave you a quote. The number one on your notes there, third page 31 of this, really it's a Revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's church age book. And Brother Branham proves a point. Now we can read in the Bible that by our new birth, we are just as righteous as God is. The Bible says it. But he says our understanding has not been opened. Are you reading it there on the notes? Our understanding hasn't been opened. He said that's not real to most people. Now I'm going to ask you a blunt question. Just don't raise your hand because both of mine's going to be up. Do you understand that you're just as righteous as God is? As many times as Brother Branham has said that to us. Is it a revelation that we're just as righteous as God is? Come on. Mine's up to say no. Mine's up to say I don't. Say that it's been revealed to me fully. It's been partially revealed to me. It's not fully been revealed to me that I'm just as righteous as God is. So I need my understanding open to the Scriptures. What about you? I'm just illustrating that. Then we'll get back to the point of the message. He said it's not real to most of us. It's just a good scripture. What if all of our understanding is that away? What if all of our understanding is just the things that have been opened unto us because we've read? You know, they used to say, you know, years ago, you don't hear it too much now, but they used to say, you know, beware of that guy that's got all the answers. Well, I just conned a phrase on it, you know. I said, beware of a people after all the years they've studied the message and don't have no answers at all. I mean, my Lord, 40 years we've been reading. I have. Most of you are in the 20-year bracket. From 20 to 40 years you've studied this message, or even more than 40. We ought to have an understanding of what Brother Branham said. But you know what? It's the most illiterate bunch of people you've ever met in your life. Because you go talk to the people of this message and just start saying a few things about what Brother Branham said. Where'd he say that at? I don't know where he said that or not. Man on the phone told me, he said, I don't know where he said that. I said, would you hold on just a minute and let me go turn the computer on, or are you going to believe me? I said, because you know if I'm going to turn the computer on, and I got to take time, that I'm going to prove to you what I'm saying. And I said, you turn your computer on and you run it down. If I ain't right, you call me and let me know, and I'll come to your church with a big sign on my back that said I'm a liar. I said, that's how much I know what Brother Rand said on that topic, because I quoted it to him verbatim. He said, I don't know where Brother Rand said that or not. I said, go read the book. See? Could it be that we've had our understanding opened of the scriptures because of the intellectual conceptions that we have received by so much studying? I've always told you. How many remembers this statement? Brother Dale wished that God would reveal in his heart what he'd got in his head. How many thousands of times have you heard that statement made? Because I don't claim that God has revealed to me all of the scriptures. But what he's revealed to me, I'll stand on. Like I said there the other day, you can take a man, you take a drunk that has truly drunk and has really seen a pink elephant, you put a lie detector's test on him, it'll show he's seen a pink elephant when they don't exist. See? Something that's revealed to you, nobody can take it away from you. They can't deprogram a born-again Christian. They deprogram people that are not born again, because that's intellectualism. But you see, we can have our understanding of the Scriptures opened, that we can quote Brother Branham about every Scripture, and there not be one dab of revelation. No, see, that's what people don't want you to say, those things. Because they say, Brother Branham had the revelation. I don't have a revelation. I just got a revelation that Brother Branham had the revelation. And what I just say what Brother Branham says, so that's the revelation. That was a revelation to Brother Branham. All right. That was a revelation to Brother Branham. But it's not a revelation to me and you just because we can read it. Because the Bible never changed. It always read for you to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It never said to baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But yet we swore by it and done it, didn't we? You understand what I'm saying? We need a revelation more than anything. Because revelation will change things. We can argue about quotes, but when it's revealed, there's no argument. Something's revealed to me, I'm not going to argue with you at all. I'm going to just tell you what I believe and walk off and leave you. You can do what you want to with it, about it, or whatever, because that's what I would expect you to do to me. When are we going to get to the point that we can tell people what we believe without having to quote Brother Branham? Now, see, out on the internet, I'm holding up 12 quotes, and that's a very short amount. I'm trying to be good to Richard because Joe's not here, and I'm trying to help Richard to where he don't have to put so many quotes in the computer to where that those out on the computer system out there. So if anybody's ever listened to me two sermons, you know I'm quoting Brother Branham all the time. And a lot of times it's about 98% of the whole message is quoting it. So you know that I'm not saying something wrong when I say quotes will kill you. Quotes will blow your head up to where that you cannot get in a building with it. It's so big. But a revelation will humble you until you can crawl under a 10-gallon hat and leave plenty of room. Right? A lot of difference in revelation and intellect. Yeah. But see, without a revelation of what's being said, we're just like the disciples were. Having their script, having their understanding open. Now, I'll get off that in a minute, so just get what I'm saying now. The people on the radios, the news media, I mean, the radio, Christian radios, you listen to them. And you know how Brother Brown says certain things, and you know how people will say it, and you say, hey, that old boy was in the seal book, page 155. You know, you can give him the page number he's reading off of. But you see, it's opening of understanding.
Right.
A lot of difference between revelation and understanding being opened. Now, if we don't get it in the field, there's no way for us to get a revelation.
Right.
All right? Now, so then in doing that now, take that with all of the message. But remember one thing. It did not give them eternal life because he opened their understanding of the scriptures. They still had to go to Pentecost to receive eternal life. All right. It is not eternal life to you and I to be able to quote Brother Branham or the Bible. It is only when the Holy Spirit can quicken that unto us and make it alive. Oh, we call it. See? Yeah, we read between the lines. Well, I agree with that because that's what Brother Branham said about it. But now, did Brother Branham, what he said was between the lines, is it contrary to what's on the line? Is it different from what was on the line? Now, what was the point he used to express it? He said, now, like Abraham and Sarah, said it doesn't say that they were made young. He said, but we read between the lines. And we see that they were well stricken in age and done past childbearing, the word said. And then they were made to the basis to be able to bear children, so they must have been turned back young. He said, now that's reading between the lines. But that didn't add anything to what the scripture said.
Right, that's right.
Exactly. See? I've heard people say we read between the lines, and my revelation of the seventh seal is polygamy. It's all right, have all the wives you want. Now, where's that reading? That's not even in Greer's Almanac, let alone the Bible or the prophet's message.
Right.
See? Or McDonald's, either one, if you're in Jamaica. But now listen. What we need is a revelation. Do you come to church praying for God to reveal to you something today? That ought to be our greatest desire. You know, not because I'm getting older, but it's getting to the basis of this old world getting back looking mighty bad, isn't it? See? Now, we've got enough understanding. Okay? You following me? We've got enough understanding by hearing the prophet that there's only going to be a small group of people to be saved. And if we stayed around here 1,000 more years, it wouldn't be one more saved than what was names written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, right? That's understanding, isn't it? Right? I mean, I had the understanding that I could read that first seal. And I could see that Brother Branham says the white horse rider is the Antichrist. Well, I had enough understanding to realize that he was the prophet and I wasn't. So, you know, if him being the prophet, I was going to have to take what he said about it, whether I understood it or not. But you know what? One day the Lord revealed that to me. And when he revealed it to me, it was not a different wording at all of what the letter on the page said. The letter on the page says, here stands a white horse rider. Here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. There goes a white horse rider riding off. He said, thereby it's got to be the Antichrist. He said, see that guy riding off? See that fella riding off? See that other person? You know, it's revealed to me that the white horse rider was the Antichrist. Now, is it just a quote to you? Or has that been revealed? Now, come on up. See, Brother Dale made that statement, and then you can go quote what Brother Dale said. Right. Is that a revelation, or is that an understanding of the Scriptures open to you? Right. What's your revelation? And we know for sure that our revelation can't be any contrary to what the prophets was and what the Bible said. Right? Just getting a little background to say a few words. But you understand. Because their understanding of the Scriptures was open, did not give them eternal life. Our understanding, we can understand Brother Brown's message to the letter and be able to quote everything he says and have a photographic memory of everything that he would say. And that is not one dab of eternal life. Be wonderful, but still it's not a dab of eternal life. You see, that's why people are afraid to talk like I do. Because they don't know where they stand. Like a brother told me one time, he said, you ain't nothing but a Baptist. You just put the word together. But a few days later, he looked at me and he said, but I know better than to fool with you. He said, because you can take the Bible and the message and tear me to pieces. But you know what? I look back, and you've heard me say it many times. I look back at him, I said, yes, and you know I won't do it. Because this is not a tear people apart thing. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a life. It's not an argument. Or quotes. Brother told me that he heard these two men talking when they got to computers and they said, now we can quote with Brother Dale. Well, boy, isn't that something? I mean, quote with somebody. My goodness, folks. But get the point. We can have our understanding opened, but do we have the revelation? All right? We need to apply this law of what we're talking about, our way of presenting it, to all of the Scriptures and all of the prophet's message. See, we have understanding of the message by reading and studying it, but we need to have it made alive to us. Now let's apply this to the redemption of our bodies that we live in. Because we have the message to show the redemption of the soul, justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. We have the message to show us in the Scriptures, to show us justification for the earth
in the days of Noah, sanctification in the days of the Lord Jesus, and a fiery baptism to come after the millennial reign and all to burn off everything. We have that as an understanding. But can we bring the body through the Scriptures and redeem it and show where it's at? See? Now all this, what I just got through saying, was a background. See? In other words, lay it down, something in the background, and now let's apply this application to the understanding of the redemption of the body. Because see, it's got to be revealed to somebody one day that they're fully redeemed.
Right.
And then God can take and make it manifest.
Right.
But until that's revealed, you say, well, I wonder why our body, why we're here after 40 years. Because it hasn't been revealed to us.
Amen.
Is that sensible? Had it been revealed to us 40 years ago, what we've been studying in the adoption, Romans 8 and 23, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See? It doesn't say the redemption there. It's to wit, to understand the redemption of our body. And see, Brother Branham come, as I've tried to explain it to you, he come to bring us the plan of salvation. For the earth, for the soul of man, and for the body of man. Well, it's just easy. We just put this over here and put that over there. Well, all right, put that over there, and we're going to have to wait for the redemption of our body when the world is annihilated after the millennium. And see, that won't work. Right. So what did we go through? Showing in the Scriptures that the prophet said, page 49, I gave them back to you again where you could read it, that the soul is redeemed. But we're waiting the redemption of the body. But he says it's growing on. In other words, a process is taking place. Then I gave you one there from who is this Melchizedek, where Brother Branham said it's already started. The redemption of our bodies already started.
Right.
See, then at the end of the message last Wednesday, I made the statement and said, I'll explain later. But I said, the day God gave you the new birth,
amen,
the day He gave you the new birth, that day He redeemed your body.
Right.
The day He gave you the new birth, He redeemed it. He said, well, I'm getting older. I received it when I was 10 and I'm 70. Jesus, Brother Branham says, and I gave it back to you, future home. From this part of the earth I have redeemed, which is on the River Jordan, where it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Brother Branham said, from this part of the earth I have redeemed His body and I've come to live in it. And from that I'm going to redeem the rest. It was 3.5 years of the most horrible life of the Lord Jesus that He'd ever lived. But yet God said He's redeemed right there. See? I'm trying to talk to you by revelation. But I realize that the opening of our understanding has to come by words we use. So the new birth, the prophet said, and I gave you a bunch of quotes, he said it's the most important thing in your life. But who's seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, I got it when I believed. And to prove it, I believe this message. Well, could that be you had the understanding of your understanding opened? Jesus' body was redeemed right there when God came down and united with Him. Not that He wasn't already God. And He didn't need that baptism of the Holy Ghost to give Him eternal life. He already had eternal life. He was eternal life.
Amen.
It was an example for you and I. But you see, I know what it is. It's hard to even get people to say, when I got the new birth, God's pleased to dwell in me. But one of these days, I believe one of these days, he'd be pleased to dwell in me. You ain't got carnal. That's Brother Run said, thinner than a soup made of a chatter of a chicken that starved to death. What are you talking about? You're saying God made you perfect, and you're saying you need perfection? When the day God gave us the new birth, he was pleased to dwell.
Right.
Where's he living?
Amen. Come on.
He's living inside of us.
Right.
He's pleased to dwell.
Right.
When are we going to start confessing that?
Amen.
When are we going to start saying we're just as righteous as God is by the new birth that we have inside of us?
That's right.
See? Unless we confess it, God can't make it alive.
That's right.
See, Jesus' body was redeemed in 3.5 years before the climax or the change or the resurrection and the things took place.
Amen.
The day you received the new birth, God said right there, I lay claim on this body.
Amen.
And he ain't going to get a new one.
Amen.
Folks, that's proof that you're not going to get a new one. Because it would have been like some of them are saying that we don't have the Holy Ghost yet, we just got an anointing. Just an anointing. They're saying that in the message now. I've been at it for 40-something years. Where are they preaching the new birth today? Come on, a lot of you listen on the internet. I ain't said a word about it. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do it, but write down on a piece of paper somebody you've heard preach on the new birth in the past 20 years and turn it in to me. I would love to hear it. All right? Because you know it's not being done. Oh, now they're saying the new birth is just a baptism. It's just a baptism. We don't have to go through justification, sanctification, baptism. It's just a baptism. It's just believing this message. Yeah. No, I'm still a firm old believer in justification as a work of the Holy Spirit, sanctification as a work of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism is the Holy Spirit. I'm still a firm old believer in each stage there that you must live through. And saying it would be a very, very rare occasion for anybody to go through it at one time. And maybe I didn't put enough rares in there. But what are we doing? Is our understanding of the Scriptures opened? Or do we have a revelation? When I said that Wednesday night, I thought that the biggest portion of the people of this church is going to be standing on their feet when they get through making this statement. And I only got one or two amens out of it. I literally thought most of you would be rejoicing because you had learned the redemption of the body and how the process is taking place. That it started with our new birth. Well, I already know that, Brother Dale. Well, that's all right. It's all right. See, I've always preached that same thing. But now it's a revelation. A lot of difference in the two. You see, we prove what we are by what we do. That's like people walking away, you know, and going to other places doing things. That's their business. Ain't nothing to me. But it's one point. How can you leave the Word if you say the Word's here? And all that's ever that's left from here, before they left from here, they said the Word was here. No, Brother Dale, you're too plain. You shouldn't talk like that. Why? How much longer have we got to play around? Age-wise, there's a lot of us in trouble. I said a lot of us in trouble. I'm looking at a lot of gray hairs and some that put stuff on it to keep it looking gray, but that ain't going to change the roots of it. Not a bit. Roots will tell what it is. But you see, we ain't got time. We ain't got another 40 years. I've never made dates and times and seasons. You know better than that. I say that we need 40 more years. What little bit I understand of the message that I believe needs to be revealed to us, it'd take me 40 more years to preach it where we could see it. I'm not joking. Because I'm trying to preach to you where we can get a revelation, not an intellectual conception. Sure, we've studied the message. We can say we've preached one God. Okay. We've preached marriage and divorce. We've preached the sealed. All of that, wonderful. But if it's not revealed,
right.
See? It's the same thing as I gave to where we took it, 31 of the church age book, where the prophet said to most people, this is just a good quote, that we're just as righteous as God is by being in Jesus Christ. You know that most of the quotes that I gave you where Brother Brown says that when you receive the new birth, you have everything you need for the journey? Do you know what the biggest portion of people thinks that means? That means they don't need to get nothing else because they got everything when they believed. They got everything when they accepted Jesus Christ. They believed this message. Brother Branham didn't say that. Read the quotes. Come on, we can read them, but there's no need of it. He said, keep drinking in and pushing out. The more you drink in, the more you push out. The more of the message you take in, the more God can reveal to us. See? But people will say, well, yeah, Brother Branham said it. I got everything I needed. Brother Dale preached about that statue of perfect man. I don't need that. I got everything when I was born again. That's a good Baptist doctrine. That said, I got everything when I believed. Yeah. But what about it? What about it? We're growing on. See? We understand the mechanical side of the message. I ain't saying everybody around the country preaches on it, because I just got through asking that question. How many even preach on a new birth? Well, if you don't preach on a new birth, then there's one thing for certain. You don't know what the new birth is, because that's just the point. But see, we can talk about how that the new birth brings us this, and we can talk how that the adoption brings us this, and we can talk about how that this brings to this, and the opening of the word brings to this. But if it's not a revelation, we have had our understanding opened of the Scriptures. We're just like the disciples. Because, as I said, the disciples still wanted to know in Acts 1 what Jesus was going to do. Now, come on, folks, I hate to talk, but isn't it true around this message that people don't know what in the world's going on? If California went under right now, most of the people of this message would blow their brains out, because they'd say they done missed the rapture. Right? When it didn't happen in 1973 and 1977, what happened to the people of the message? They sent their books back to Jeffersonville. They got out of the message. Some of you was back there and remember those days when those things happened. Would you say, Brother Dale, what would you do if California went under? I'd say, praise the Lord, there's an earthquake number one. Because according to, I believe, what the Bible and the prophet says, there's going to be two major ones. And one can bring the resurrection. But another one will open the sixth seal. Because it opens with an earthquake. And you better not put the bride over there when the seal breaks. Because you got her in the tribulation. You done messed up. All the prophets said that we don't go through the tribulation. So you see, but could that just be an opening of our understanding? A sensible reasoning out of factors. A taking of things, and that's what the brother told me that I was, a Baptist. Because see, the Baptist brother and said, you better leave them alone. Now what he's talking about is, they will take the Bible and dissect it, or a thought and dissect it. I tell him, Brother Reed, about my sister. My brother-in-law was a Baptist preacher. He had 4 years in college. And my sister was teaching a class one day. And somebody gave it to her, she took it or something, and she went back and picked up like this town or this person or something. And she studied it out and she brought it to the group and she laid it down step by step where this came from here, this here, this here, this here, this here, and this here, and right down, you know, like that. And when it was finished, the lady in the congregation said, where in the world did you get that? My brother-in-law was the Baptist preacher. He said she must have got it out of Greer's Almanac. She took him home and set him down. And she laid her down. She said, you go back and apologize. She had the scriptures to the letter, and he didn't even know it. See, that's a Baptist. The people of this message have the quotes to the letter. I've never said nothing other than, I'm telling you, I got a lot in my head that's just a letter. But what's in my heart is revealed. I don't worry about that part. What's in that head is running around there and is mighty confusing. How many of you ever said to me, because you know I've said it to you, you say, one time I see one God so clear, it's just beautiful, I can just follow it all the way down. And the next few minutes later, it's just like it's gone, and I don't even know what in the world I'm talking about. Right? See? It could be intellectualism. Nothing wrong with intellectualism. We must have it. The disciples had to have their understanding opened before they could make it to Pentecost. All right? Had they not, Jesus had not opened their understanding. Now, I've read it to you, and we read there that when he appeared to them, they first thought he was a spirit. He tried to make it more convincing by saying, come and feel me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. And they still didn't get it. I'm going to read your Bible. They didn't get it. He said, if you got any bread. He brought it to a natural thing that they could not question because he ate the bread and the fish. And it didn't go floating through the walls. Go ahead. And he was in a glorified body. Right? You see? Could we have our understanding opened and not have a revelation? What about it? How can you tell the difference? See, Paul said in, what is it, Thessalonians or Corinthians 1? He said, Corinthians, I think, he said, I show you a mystery. Right? It's in Corinthians. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Yeah, 15:51. We shall not all sleep. I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that has not been previously revealed. Right? So Paul said, this has not been previously revealed, but I say unto you, we shall not all sleep. So everybody thought before then that they had to go to sleep or die, in other words. Brother Branham come and told us many mysteries. But could it be that we just know them by head knowledge? Think on these things. How do you know the difference, Brother Dale? How do you know the difference? Because you can't take away what's been revealed to me. You can't take away what I've told you I've seen. No matter what you do, you can't take it away. But Brother Al said, what you need to do sometimes is let go up there to Lula and let Brother Dale see if he can talk you out of what you believe. Remember that, Brother Al? Just let him see if he can talk you out of what you believe. If I can talk you out of it, it's not a revelation. If you are afraid to talk to me about what you see, it is not a revelation to you. Because I'm not as scared of the Pope of Rome or the popes of this message or anywhere. I'll just tell you what I believe. And if you give me an opportunity, I'll tell you why that I believe it. And then you say, well, now right here, Brother Dale, the prophet said so-and-so. I said, okay, let's wait this minute. It'll all be put together. Yeah. But you see, some of the things that God has spoke to me about is revealed. Some of the things is opening of my understanding has been opened to where that I see they're right and I believe it. But I'm waiting for a revelation. What about you? Do you understand that when you receive the new birth, that your body was redeemed? Now, what was the last scripture we gave? Now, I won't use it because I'll use it later. What was the last scripture we gave? I said, you want a scripture for the fact that your body was redeemed the day you received the new birth? I said, what about the Bible? It says, what if there in Romans were those who he justified, he hath already glorified. Now I'm going to make a statement strong because I've been studying it. About 98% of the times Brother Branham uses that quote, he is talking about a glorified body. A theophany. A celestial. I say 98, somewhere close to it, 95%. There's only a very few quotes that he's really dealing with the glorified human mortal body. He said, well, why? Because we first need the spiritual. We first need the plan of redemption. We need to know about our theophany. Do we have one up there, or is it down here, or where is it at? Well, it don't matter to me. I just got one. But you see, those we justified, he's already. The day you receive that new birth, he glorified your body in his presence. One day that will catch up with it. You remember 5-8 years ago when I preached a series called Matching Pieces? They're putting those now on the tape system to where you can get them on the internet. probably 40 sermons or more called Matching Pieces. Whenever what God's seen there is matched with it here, we got to go. Why hasn't it been? Because it's not matching. Sensible. When we see ourselves there, as we stand here, then we can go there. But all of the talking about going there and how far it is, and that's just head knowledge. I want a revelation, folks. I want a revelation of what I've got in my head drop down in my heart to be revealed to me. Because I can walk on that. Come on. Come on, musician. I can walk on what God's revealed to me. I can be like the old colored brother was, you know, said, carrying the Bible. And said, you can't even read. He said, no, but I've been told. That it says Holy Bible on there. He said, well now, what if God told you in that Bible to go jump through that wall? He said, I would jump. He said, it'd be up to God to have the hole made by the time I get there. See, that's the way we've got to get. We've got to get to the place. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Let's stand together. Think on these things. Do we have a revelation or intellect?
Amen. 369 in the red book.
369. Anybody have a need?
The mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He.
The everlasting Father, the King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things were made. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. You know who wrote this? Oneness. Written by who? George R. Farrell. Oneness. That's what they believe. But they believed it was all in Him. And that He's the life immortality of God. I believe it was all in Him, but I believe it all that was in Him is now in the bride. And she's the life immortality, our form of God. See, now I sang that song. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. Why? Because He's in us. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him.
Our God,
reframe of Israel recreated when Jesus comes again. Priest to be, for in Him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all is He. It's all in Him. It's all in Him.
The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God of Jesus is all in Him.
Amen. Our little buddy's sick. The doctors tell us what they say he has. But we say he's healed. God said He's healed. And we believe it. We don't accept nothing except what God says. All right. Father, You said in your word, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So now, science has said what they have and doing all they can do. We thank you. But that's not it, Lord. It's all in you. You are the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the all in all. And Jesus is your name. We place the blood of our Lord and Savior between this little buddy here and that devil. That science is saying that he's got it. Doctors are saying he's got it. But we condemn it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's believe and say, just let it go. Believe it. Anybody else? It's all in you. It's all. Mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in you. Refrain of Israel recreated. When Jesus comes again, he will come and save us, our King and priest to be. For in him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all is he. It's all in him. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in him. It's all in him. It's all in him. It's Jesus, and it's all in him. See, when the man wrote this song, he was saying what God revealed to him. And that was right there. That day it was right. But you see, then God unfolded more of his word. This song became greater understanding. Now we can say it's all in him. And he's in you. We can believe it. But see, it's progressive revelation. But if we stand with them where they stood there, we're not in the present day truth. What I'm trying to get you to see, those disciples, they heard Jesus for 3.5 years. They had a great understanding. But then he opened their understanding of himself. That didn't give them eternal life. They still had to go to Pentecost. Well, see, at Pentecost, what they had opened to them back there became alive. And they saw him as the resurrection and the life. What about it? To give us all. What about it? Undeserving. Love and praise him. More today, whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good, right? New creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Do you believe it? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are the people of his kingdom. We are family. We are one. Think about it. Remember the Bible study Saturday? Just pray that the Lord would bless and guide all of us, take care of us, be with us on the highway, and let his love be made manifest. The main thing is to open our understanding by revelation, not just head knowledge. Pray for revelation more than anything else. because a revelation will change us. You're dismissed. Let's sing it to one another. Ain't God good? Father, just bless the people on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love.